Today I want to talk about exploring what is possible. Questions are powerful tools in language, but more than that, questions effectively asked can open the door to information and knowledge. Open-ended questions, and people with sales backgrounds will certainly understand this, expand the range of responses that are available to answer the questions. Closed-ended questions are a narrowing or ending of the process of exploring. They're designed to get to an endpoint in sales to make the sale, the close. What is possible can be a powerfully helpful question if we patiently and quietly wait for the answers. And there are an infinite number of responses to a question like this. On the other hand, is it possible is a question that leads to two or three ending answers. Yes, no, and if we're really open-minded, to a maybe. That's much less helpful. That's much less effective. Questions related to what is possible can move mountains. But the question is, who are we asking when we ask these questions? Let me start my answer by saying who we're not asking. We're not asking our history and our past experiences. We're not asking our left brains or our memories. We're not asking the left-brained accumulation of experiences or memories or memorizations of so-called experts. We are asking the deepest, most spiritual part of us. We are asking the part of us which will reply in a, quotes, still small voice, end quotes. We are asking the source of the healing spirit. We are asking our right brain creative heart. We are asking that forces inside and out that can assemble answers that are new arrangements of possibilities not limited by past patterns. We are asking that space where completely new arrangements are possible in every field of human endeavor. To say or to believe it is impossible is basically to slam the door on the unfoldment and delivery of blessings and miracles. We have all heard of or seen firsthand events that were thought to be impossible, but were being done by people who didn't believe that. And I'm certain you have heard of this scenario. There are people who try repeatedly to have children but can't conceive. And then, upon investigation of their physicalities, they're told it is impossible for them to conceive a child. These people then go out and adopt one or more children. And after adopting, what happens is they do conceive and deliver one or more of their own natural children. This is a fairly common experience of the impossible being changed into the possible. And in these cases, the so-called experts don't have a grasp of what changes a given circumstance from the impossible to the possible. Early on in my childhood, there were multiple experiences, but the one I'm going to speak of next is my sister Daphne. She was the oldest child in our family, my oldest sibling. She used to do the impossible on a regular basis, and that was Daphne would answer the telephone before it rang. She would pick up the phone before it rang and initiate a conversation with the caller as if she knew beforehand who the caller was and why they were calling. She would address that person by name before they had a chance to introduce themselves. Daphne did the impossible. My mother was a registered nurse, so many conversations around the house related to health issues and physical conditions and so on. And a formative event in my life was when I was 16, happened when a friend with, this is in quotes, "It is impossible for him to live with this advanced stage of cancer," declaration done by the doctors who operated on him and closed him up and sent him home to die. It was impossible for him to heal. However, he healed without any more medical intervention beyond that completely inaccurate description of what was possible. In fact, this man lived another 23 years of health and happiness with his family. Isn't it good that he made up his own mind about what was possible and impossible? He must have decided it was possible to live, and he decided it was impossible to die. When I was 6 years old, I was told that it was impossible for my best friends to get into heaven because they were of the wrong religions. Fortunately, before that belief took deep root, my mother corrected that message and expanded the possibilities for me. She gave me other possibilities to hold on to. As a boomer, I was a child, as perhaps many of you were, during the Cold War between the United States and the Soviet Union. And in school, we used to practice retreating into our air raid shelters so we could avoid nuclear broiling in the case the Cold War turned into a hot war. The amount of fear that was produced and promoted regarding the space race between our two countries just made things even more anxiety-provoking. And this question, what possible benefits could there be in the Sputnik success to an American? That question was impossible to even consider for the average person in the street. The Soviets were the enemy. They were bad, and no other considerations or thoughts were permitted. If you expressed any other possibilities, you would have been branded communist lover or worse. In the Soviet Union, the people who flew into outer space were labeled cosmonauts. In the U.S., we called our people astronauts. In the early days, one of the challenges that the cosmonauts faced was the effects of weightlessness on their bodies. The lack of gravity in outer space resulted in a lack of stimulation to muscles and bones, so that muscle atrophy and osteoporosis occurred. When the cosmonauts returned to Earth in their capsules, they had to be carried out because they were so weak and their bones so brittle that if they were to stand up, they would have broken their bones if they had the strength even to support themselves. It was considered impossible for humans to live for any extended period of time in weightlessness. However, some Soviet scientists developed a technology. They thought perhaps something else was possible. They developed a technology that could stimulate the muscles and the bones, and even in outer space. So they created equipment that made life in weightlessness possible. Some years after that, when the science behind the Soviet technology became known, people in the Netherlands began to apply it to athletes because they recognized the need for athletes to develop greater muscle strength and endurance for athletic events, particularly the Olympics. It wasn't long before somebody then turned around and applied it to a specific segment of the population. This is a civilian population. Little old ladies, 80 years old or so, with osteoporosis, who were too fragile to do any form of exercise, began to use and prove this technology as being valuable. Today, this equipment is sold throughout the United States and is used in physical therapy and rehabilitation centers, health clubs, on professional sports and college athletic programs, and in private homes. Is it possible for our enemy to bless us and the world? Obviously so. When we ask ourselves the question, what is possible? We will have a field of attention more or less specific and more or less directionalized. What is possible regarding my health? For instance, that's somewhat specific. And the direction I'm speaking about is vibrational direction. That is either going to a higher vibration, such as light, with a capital L, joy, health, happiness, fun, wonder, love, excitement, or it's going toward lower vibrations, such as fear, anger, getting worse, suffering dreadful pain, and dying. Two different vibrational directions. We have the choice of specificity and direction in both cases when we ask the questions. For many of us, influenced by conversations related to Jesus the Christ, is it possible that Jesus did the miracles of turning water into wine? Is it possible that he actually healed the sick, the lame, the blind? Or is it possible that he actually brought a dead person back to life? How about the multiplication of the fishes and the loaves for the crowds? Is it possible that he did that? I would like to read from the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus the Christ by Levi Dowling, chapter 128, verse 1 through 14. Now in the night, while the disciples slept, lo, Jesus rose and went alone into a mountain pass 6 miles away to pray. And in the morning, when the 12 awoke, they could not find the Lord, and all the people of the village sought. And when the sun had passed its highest point, they found him in the mountain pass. And multitudes of people came and brought their sick, and Jesus taught and healed. And when the night came on, the people would not go. They slept upon the ground, that they might be anear the Lord. 3 days and nights the multitudes remained, and none had aught to eat. And Jesus had compassion, and he said, If I should send the multitudes away, they might not reach their homes, for they are faint, and some have journeyed many miles. And his disciples said, Where shall we get enough food to feed them all? There are 4,000 men, besides the women and the little ones. And Jesus said, How many loaves have you? They answered, 7, and some little fish. And Jesus said, Go to and seat the people as you seated them the other day when all the multitudes were fed, in companies of 12. And when the people were sat down in companies of 12, the loaves and fishes were brought. And Jesus looked to heaven and spoke the word. And then he broke the 7 loaves in little bits, and likewise cut the fish. And every bit of bread became a loaf, and every piece of fish became a fish. The 12 went forth and gave it to every one. The people ate, and they were filled, and all the fragments that were left were gathered up. And there were 7 baskets full. Is that possible? Is that possible? This is a story also from the Aquarian Gospel about a healing. Chapter 130, verse 1 through 14. When Jesus, Peter, James, and John were come unto the city's gates, a multitude of people thronged that way. The 9 apostles who went not with Jesus to the mount had tried to heal an epileptic child who was obsessed, and they had failed. The people waited for the coming of the Lord. When Jesus came, the father of the child knelt down before him and implored his help. He said, My master, I beseech that you will look in pity on my son, my only child. He is an epileptic child and suffers grievously. Sometimes he falls into the fire and is burned. Again he falls into the water and is like to drown. And many times a day he falls, he grinds his teeth, the foam pours from his mouth. I took my child to your disciples, and they failed to give relief. And as he spoke, a servant brought the child before the Lord. The child spoke not, for he was dumb. Instantly he fell upon the ground. He foamed, he writhed in agony, and Jesus said, How long has he been troubled thus? The father said, From infancy, and we have sought in many lands for help, but found it not. But I believe that you can speak the word and heal my son. And Jesus said, Faith is the power of God. All things are possible for him who in his heart believes. The father cried in tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And Jesus spoke the word of power. The epileptic child lay in a swoon. He did not breathe, and all the people said, The child is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and said, Arise. And he arose and spoke. The people were amazed, and many said, This surely is a man of God. No such power was ever given to man. Is it possible? Is it possible? The final reference today from the Aquarian Gospel, chapter 163, verse 34 to 37. Jesus is speaking, and he says, I came as man to manifest this love to men. As man, I have been subject unto all the trials and temptations of the human race, but I have overcome the flesh with all its passions and its appetites. What I have done, all men can do. And I am now about to demonstrate the power of man to conquer death, for every man is God-made flesh. What is possible for us? What is possible for us? Ask yourself that question. What is possible? What is possible? If you ask that question with an open mind and a soaring heart, if you ask it from the heart and listen to a greater, more loving answer than you can currently imagine, you will know greater levels of possibility than you have ever been taught by any outsider, any teacher, any authority, any expert. You, by connecting to God, your healing spirit, have no limits to what is possible. I would like to end this service with a prayer. Father God, Mother God, Christ, the source and connection to all that is, thank you for all of our blessings. Thank you for your help in making us aware of those blessings and what further blessings are possible. Help us to expand our connection and our awareness of our relationship with you and your relationship with us. Help us to be patient so we're not deceived by appearances, and we know that there are deeper truths that we can access. There is good in all circumstances, and it is possible for us to become aware of it, appreciate it, and then know that we are safe with you. Thank you. It is so. Amen.